Welcome to the Powered Services Podcast, your one-stop shop for all the information, strategies, and insights you need to supercharge your MSP. Get ready to hear from other MSPs and industry experts in the trenches and behind the scenes to help you change the future of your MSP and increase your MRR. Now, here's your host, Dan Tomaszewski.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back for episode 3 of the Powered Services Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Tomaszewski. Will Bishop, my co-host, is with me today. How you doing, Will?
I'm good. How are you, Dan?
Living the dream, man. We're off to a great start. Lots of things are going on. You know, we've gone through cyber liability. Last week, we talked about agreements and just the kind of service. And now we're about to jump into, I think, one of the hottest topics we get asked on a weekly basis, which is compliance, but more so around CMMC. I know you're like me. We're hearing that daily.
We are. And, you know, compliance is something I've worked with a lot, you know, 20 years as an MSP and working with those folks. Lots of HIPAA questions in that time period. We did a lot with healthcare facilities and healthcare practices. And CMC, you're right, is absolutely a hot topic right now. I actually had a couple of calls around it last week. So super excited to have these two MSPs on today to kind of talk through this.
Yeah, and that's what this podcast is about, is really not hearing it just from us, but hearing it from peers. Right. And I think this is we've brought on, and we're going to be bringing in here, I'm bringing them into the room now. We've got two different MSPs, and they're kind of going at CMMC in two different ways. So I think it's really kind of a cool thing. So we have two MSPs. We got Leia, and we've got John, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. So Leia, I'll let you go first. Why don't you introduce yourself and your MSP, and then John, we'll have you go right behind her.
Got it, Dan. And Will, thank you for having me here today. I'm Leia Shilabad. I'm CEO of InTech Solutions. I'm also known as the IT Princess of Power. My MSP is located right outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we've been working in CMMC since before its inception, the members of the Department of the DIB needing to have NIST 800-171 compliance. And then trying to figure out what all of that was and the self-attestation and watching the CMMC kind of unfold. So we've been doing all those things. And then trying to figure out not only how to get clients compliant, but then how to make them stay compliant, especially now that we have assessments. So we actually developed a process and a package of IT policies, plans, and procedures and lists to be able to achieve that. I'm very highly process-driven. I can't wait to talk to you guys about all the CMMC stuff today.
No, great. Thanks for being on with us. John.
Hey, Dan and Will and Leia. John Hill, TechSite Solutions, here in San Antonio, Texas. We have been an MSP for, ever since about 2006. But prior to that, you know, I spent 28 years in the military, and 5 years or working for a DoD contractor doing some security work. And then we spent a couple of years with TechSite Solutions after I founded it, working with defense contractors and DoD. So we've been in this game for quite a while. When I first heard of CMMC coming along, and this was back in early 2019, you know, I said, we got to do this. You know, there's around 300,000 defense industrial based contractors out there that are going to need help, because the biggest part of them can't handle that security on their own. So we jumped in there, and as soon as it was available, became a registered practitioner, a registered provider organization. And myself and one of our team members became registered practitioners. And we've really been helping clients since late, before the interim rule came out, but kind of mid to late 2020. So looking forward to, you know, talking about this with you guys and finding out also what Leah has to say. She and I have spoken briefly at events in the past, but nothing in depth. So this will be a great education for me as well.
Absolutely. Looking forward to the conversation myself. So probably the natural starting point for this is, you know, a pretty simple question. Why? You know, what was it that you guys saw out there amongst your customers or just in the market that made you decide that, hey, this is something I should pursue and put my time and my resources into? And Leah, we'll start with you if you want to share your thoughts around that.
Yeah. So so again, we specialize in working with manufacturing clients. I love to work with manufacturers because they make things. I mean, like really, we configure things. We don't make them. So it's actually really cool. And I see, I know this is a podcast, but John's shaking his head. I know we feel the same way about working with manufacturers. It's really cool to be able to see people make stuff. Well, a lot of the defense industrial base is made up of manufacturers. The defense, the DoD needs them to make things for them. Because they had sensitive information, controlled information, you know, back in 2015, the Obama administration declared that there should be a way for us to be able to protect and control that information. And that's where the inception of NIST 800-171, those controls came from. That's protecting controlled and classified information in non-governmental systems. Everybody was expected to do that. And then they, guess what? Because they were just expected to and nobody came back and checked, they didn't. We were struggling to help companies to get compliant with that. And then when CMMC came, our clients who already needed to be NIST 800-171 compliant, then they had additional things that had to happen and additional controls they had to meet. And then more people now are getting in the net of CMMC because it's more than just people that have that controlled information. It's also businesses that have federal contract information too. So we kind of like grew up into this just because of the kind of customers that we were working with.
Okay. It's always interesting to hear how people come to places where they are. John, you spoke to this just a little bit as you were introducing yourself. Is there anything else you would like to maybe expand on there as to the why?
Well, I guess, you know, key is that in all that time of working with DOD and working with, you know, being part of a defense contractor, you know, there was always security issues. And it wasn't, you know, quite the forefront like it is now, but when that opportunity came up, and then especially when DOD published a paper indicating that only 1%, at the most, of the defense industrial base had actually paid attention to the NIST 800-171 requirements because there weren't any teeth in it, that's when they started working toward the interim rule that came out November 30th last year that was forcing the issue and actually putting some teeth in it. So to me, it was just a great opportunity to not only help secure our defense industrial base, but make a profit. You know, it's a great line of business to work with because it's such an open field out there. And, you know, not for the faint of heart, but, you know, so that's about it on that.
Yeah, so something we want to go into with you guys is, look, I know you guys just didn't become CMMC experts overnight. You know, it's something that, you know, we hear a lot of people say like, well, this should be easy. I should just be able to flip a switch and, you know, I'm CMMC and I can go out there and start selling it. But I know you guys and you know a little bit about each of you that, it wasn't the case. So can you guys kind of take us through, what you did, you know, and what you're doing, you know, to make sure that you're confident in building a successful CMMC business? Because education, training, you know, research, a lot of things go into building that compliance offering. Can we talk about that for a few? Because I feel like people, like I said, think it's just an easy button. You hit the easy button or flip a switch, and I know it's not that. So let's go through that journey for us of how you guys got there and what you're doing.
John, do you want to start this one?
Sure. So, well, basically, we've focused on high security for years. We, you know, I came out of some security in the military, and then we've really used the NIST cybersecurity framework to work with our clients for a long time. Anyway, we got the CompTIA, CompTIA Security Trustmark designation several years ago that uses that NIST framework. And, you know, several of myself, as well as several of our team members, all have gotten the CompTIA Security Plus certification. And then, just
training in various aspects. I mean, you've got to really know what you're doing to be successful. And I thought that was interesting what you said about the easy button. Well, there have been a lot of companies out there. I get emails from them and actually mailers from them saying, I'll just sign up for our program. You don't have to know anything about this. We'll just guarantee you get your certification. And that's way wrong. So, so that's why we've really dug in. And I mean, there's at least two webinars a week. We worked with our local Small Business Development Center. They gave some classes that we participated in and took those classes, as well as participating on roundtables as panelists, and just a whole gamut of things that we've had to do to make sure that we really understand what's going on. I mean, there are assessment guides out there that you can use as something to kind of go by, but you've got to understand what they're saying. And it's not always easy, as I'm sure Leah could attest to.
Yeah. So again, I think about my journey and our journey as, starting 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah. I guess 5 years ago, with NIST 800-171, and my clients needing that. And it was the first time that I was looking at NIST controls. And when you first read them, you're like, oh, yeah, I can do that. And then you were thinking about implementation. You're like, what exactly do they mean when they say this thing, right? And so I know this sounds very, very odd, but you're probably going to hear a lot of odd, because I love CMMC and this intervention somehow, but I felt like I was sort of bathing in it for a while. I know that sounds odd, but what is it? And reading it and rereading it and asking other people who are also doing this work, what does this look like implemented? And why do they make it sound so, not precise? Why is that? And then I even read NIST 800-53. So I know this is a podcast, but this is front and back, NIST 800-53, which is where a lot of the controls were derived from. And as you can see, this is 3.5 inches thick. I read that too. And then when CMMC came out, reading all of those things, talking to the people who were helping to write everything, what does this really mean? And really trying to figure out, I finally recognized that the reason, if anyone that reads it, I'm telling you, if I talk to anyone that reads it, technical person, the first time, oh, this is easy, I know how to do this. Well, that means that they really don't know what they're talking about, because they wrote these controls so that every company can figure out the best way to align with the controls. There's not just one way, not one solution for everyone. Just like John was saying, there's no easy button. There's no you sign up for this and then you're compliant. And that's why a lot of people get confused when they read it and they actually try to implement it about, does this meet the control? Is this aligned or not? It's because there is a lot of latitude to do what's best for the business, because what this is really about is it's about protecting the information, right? That's what we're doing. We're protecting the information. All the security, all the processes, all the controls are about how to protect and control the confidentiality, the integrity, and the accessibility of that information that they're entrusted to. So what kinds of other things have we been doing over the years besides bathing in the controls that I just talked about? We've joined some peer working group sessions to be able to talk through the controls. Our InTech Solutions did become an RPO, and I have two RPs, and I'm going to be sitting for my CP to get the certification. And I also decided to study for my CISM, because a lot of what it takes to not only implement this, but also to keep the clients compliant, which we really have to talk about how to keep them compliant over time, because we're going to talk about why that's so important. I need to make sure that we are serving our clients properly. because when they go for an official assessment, they're going to spend thousands or tens of thousands of dollars just for the assessment. If they fail, that's going to be my fault. I don't want that on my head. So we have got to make sure that we're doing the right thing, and we have to be properly prepared.
Yep, that's a fantastic point that you make, Leigh. I talk to a lot of MSPs that's the very concern they have. They say, we're going to give advice around this. How do we know for sure that we're telling people to do the right thing? So it's a great point, and I'm glad you brought that up. The answer that you guys just gave about, you know, what have you done to get ready for this, and what have you invested in regards to, you know, time, effort, money, all of those things, and it sounds like it's significant. What are the results that you're seeing? I mean, are you having success with this? I think I know the answer to that, but we'd like to hear you guys answer that. And John, we'll start with you.
Well, we are actually seeing quite a lot of success with it. It started out a little bit slow. There were people that said, well, yeah, I've heard about this thing, but, you know, I want to wait and watch and see what happens. And then as we've moved along, it's really picked up as people are starting to see it appear in their contracts. You know, the clauses saying, okay, you got to do this. And then especially, and I keep going back to when the interim rule was published November 30th of last year, that really put the teeth in it and had people saying, oh, you know, we need to really start looking at this. So we've had a great amount of adoption. We've got quite a few clients that we're working with along the process. And not just here in San Antonio or Texas. We're out, I think, in four different states now working with companies to do it. So it's going very well, and we're having to work really hard to keep up with everything that's going on.
John, I'm sorry, Will. I just want to ask a quick question because he hit something. You know, do you feel some of the success, though, is because MSPs, you know, you're taking opportunities that other MSPs could potentially have as well, but they're not doing the CMMC. They're not doing the NIST 800-171. They're not taking compliance, you know, serious. So do you feel it's a leg up for you in your area on different things because you are so far along now with compliance that it's one of the reasons you're starting to see more results is because people trust, you know, trust in you guys that have been doing this for a while?
No, I think it definitely is because, you know, since we started, we've been out there. You know, we participated in the forums. We've done, you know, mail marketing, email marketing, done podcasts, done. I've got a kind of a web series called Thoughts from the Deck that we've addressed a lot of different issues, a lot of different misconceptions, a lot of things that we've been doing for the last year. So yeah, definitely jumping out there ahead. And just like Leia did, you know, they jumped right out there ahead. And those of us that are doing that are positioned to actually take business away from MSPs that are not doing it because they won't be able to support, especially in CMMC level 3, without, you know, being level 3 compliant themselves. So that's where we're focusing, is getting to that point of being level 3 compliant, to where we are going to really take a stronger lead on it than we've already got.
And kind of where I was going to go with the question I had was, are you seeing your success and the services that you're offering on the compliance side begin to feed your MSP business? So you start with compliance and it ends up being your regular MSP stack as well.
Actually, one out of every two that we bring on for CMMC, we convert as well to MSP.
Wow, that's good. That's really good. Leia, same question for you. You know, what kind of results are you seeing?
Right. So because we positioned, like we just got this very deep learning and knowledge, we are a source for information, not only for companies that are interested in it or need to get this compliance, but also for our local industry organizations that, like, for manufacturers or other people who need this compliance, like, they come to us to ask us. We are their SME. I actually am engaged in some consulting to help train them. And then even for other MSPs, when they have a potential opportunity, whether or not they currently do this work, they reach out to me and ask me for advice on these things. And I feel like we should have because I feel so strongly about this work and the kind of information that we are protecting, I think that the best of us should be doing this work, and we should be doing it with excellence. So anyone that's really committed, I'm committed to helping them to do really good work. So when you think about like my success as far as dollars are concerned, I mean, we are like the go-to firm for a lot of our, again, like the local industry organizations, they refer people to us, but of course they have to, you know, provide a couple of options, right? And every single time that I talk to these companies and provide the pitch and I explain what we do, not only do I talk about how long we've been doing this, but I say, we have a proven process. I can tell you exactly how to be successful in this. And it's not an IT project. You know, I have from, you know, when we come on and we do that gap assessment, I have a process, a proven process to be able to find those gaps, to be able to create discrete projects, to be able to tell you how much that's going to cost, to be able to make sure that I can show you everything you have to do, including the documentation, which is required at level three. There's extensive documentation and processes that are required at level three, which I love. And when I come and I say those things, people are like, you know, wow, like, well, no one has said that. No one has said, you know, first look at the data that you have to protect. No one has, you know, no one else I've talked to is an RPO or has RPs. Is that important? And I'm like, well, I would think so, because if you are going to do this work, you have to be committed to it. So we have what I like to refer to as long-term engagements and short-term engagements. So a short-term engagement is somebody that shows up and says, you know, I want you to do a gap assessment, or I want you to validate my internal self-assessment and let me know if this is right, so that I have is my POAM right, and help me figure out what kind of projects I have to do. And that's all I want. I don't want to get married to you. That's all I want. No problem. I'll do that. And then the long-term engagement is when they would show up at my door and say, Leia, I need everything. I need you to you know, do the gap assessment. I need you to figure out what we need to do. I need you to get me to compliant and keep me compliant and be my MSP. So I don't turn the short-term engagement people away because they're only interested in a short-term project. I recognize that they need my help, and I'm not going to sit here and browbeat them about, because I know that we're going to show value in the process and on the back end. Like John said, I mean, I think it's greater than 50% our turn rate from the short term into the long term. It's more around like 80%, because people recognize that you need help and a partner. And when you are doing this work, you can't be an island.
I think you're hitting on a topic that we kind of wanted to go into next, which is, you know, I think this is the topic that we get hit with a lot, is MSPs come and they say, look, we've invested time into learning CMMC. We've invested time into learning NIST 800, 171. We've learned the processes. We know it. Our team is good. But we don't know how to go talk to people about it. And I think this is probably the biggest question I hear on a daily basis, which is,
you know, when you describe your offering to a potential customer, how do you describe it to represent exactly what you're offering? Because I think compliance and, you know, people are like, well, is that a part of my full MSP deal? Is that a part of, you know, is that a part of this compliance project? What is it? And can we get into that?
I'll let Leia or we'll let John go, whoever wants to go first.
Why don't you go first, John? I'm so interested to hear what your take is on this. I really am.
Well, you know, there's all kinds of conversations you can have, and, you know, to really get into it, you know, it's a wide range of discussions, because you've really got to understand, number one, what they need, where they are, in order to really go into that. So it's a lot of questions and then education on our part to kind of educate them on areas that maybe they're not familiar with. You know, right now we're working actually with a couple of MSPs that don't want to do what we're doing, but they've got DoD contractor, you know, that they're working with. And so they need to be compliant themselves to continue doing that. And then we've got others with internal IT. So, you know, it's a wide range of conversations that you have, and it's really situational, you know, to who you're talking to, what they do, where they are after some, at least think they are after some brief discussion. And then you really delve into the depths of it and go with however that needs to be addressed.
So do you feel, so this is one of the questions is, so it sounds like you're doing it on a prescriptive basis. You're actually learning about the business. You're making sure that you understand what they're doing, what their core operations are, how they're conducting it on a daily basis. And then you're coming back and educating them on how CMMC, the framework, fits over their business and how you're going to be able to help them.
That's exactly right, because that's really the way you've got to do it to make sure. And, you know, and that sounds like the way Leia is really approaching it as well, is you've got to understand what their business is, how they're doing that business, and then determine, you know, through that full analysis and scoring, you know, what they really need. Otherwise, it's just like, you know, you're out there with that easy button solution. Yeah. You know, you've got to do that. You've got to educate.
Yeah. Leia, how about you?
So in my experience, the reason why so many MSPs have a hard time having this conversation with a prospect or even a client is because they approach this by just seeing a technical solution. That's not what this is. CMMC is not a technical solution. In fact, I remember being at a conference recently, sitting around a table of other MSPs, and several of them boasting about how they're like a security shop now, and because now that we have CMMC, I just tell everybody what they need for security, and they just buy it, and all these tens of thousands of dollars people are just throwing at them, and it seems like almost like everybody throwing their thing up on the table and seeing how big it was. And I was like disgusted. I'm serious. I kept my mouth shut, because if I opened it, I would have ostracized myself at that table. Because that's not what this is. It's not about how much, what can I sell them? There is no should I sell them Sentinel-1, or should I sell them, spanning, or should I sell them, that's not what this is. It's about the first thing you have to do is you have to understand, and everybody please listen to me when I say this, because this is the entire core of what it's all about. You have to understand what is the information that they need to protect under contract. What is their contractual obligation to protect? What information? What is it? And how does it flow into the organization? How do they treat it in their current business processes while it's inside of the organization digitally and physically? And how does it flow out? And is that flow going to align properly with the controls in CMMC and or NIST 100-171, depending on the level? Or are you going to have to recommend some business process changes? Or are you going to have to put in place some technology in order to make that compliant? If you don't figure out first what the information is and how it flows, and you're going to sell them a bunch of crap, and you might make them spend tens of thousands of dollars in the wrong direction.
Yeah. And I want to add to that, because
I actually was on a bid proposal with an MSP recently. They were going up against, I think, two other MSPs that claimed to be CMMC compliant, or that could help them get their CMMC, compliance, or, prepare for that. And, the owner actually said at the bid time, he's like, why is this bid got like 100 things I have to buy? Like this, and he was showing me, he's like, they got like line items for like 100 things I got to go buy. And he goes, they haven't even told me why I got to buy them. It's basically, this is what you need to be CMMC compliant. And, RMSP, like you're just saying, is it's taking it, understanding their framework. What is their business? What's their technology alignment? What do they need to do in their business? And then you have to put the framework in place that makes sense, for that business. Our customer won that bid, and he was like, I want to say he was like $1,000 more a month, but the guy said, I feel like I'm going to get sold a shiny object every month from this vendor, and you seem like someone that's going to know my business, align my technology, not just for CMMC, but align my technology to allow me to grow my company and where we're going. That makes a huge difference. And I think a lot of MSPs, they look at dollars and cents, which you got to. You're in a business, you got to make money, but you got to do it in the right way. And, you know, it's important to know CMMC, know the standard,
and then be able to educate your customer on how you're different. Because if you're not, like you said, it's going to turn into a just, here's 100 things you got to buy. Great, now I made a bunch of money. But when they get audited or they have to do their things, they're not going to be happy with you.
I'd like to throw this bomb out here, this truth bomb about compliance for everybody, because this is really going to make you think. Because of, you know, I just said there are so many MSPs that are just like, you know, what's a security solution? And this is not about a security solution. So compliant does not equal secure. Okay? Compliant does not equal secure. And just because there's a product or a process that is secure does not necessarily mean that it aligns with compliance.
Excellent point. I mean, excellent. I talk about that with MSPs all the time. And it's really to expand on what you're saying, you know, that compliant piece or being compliant is taking the things you've done on the security side, laying them down against the framework. And to your point earlier, Leah, looking for the gaps, you know, are we compliant, you know, and those type of things. So great point. I'm glad you brought that up. John, did you have something you wanted to add there?
Well, no, I agree with Leah 100%. The majority of CMC is not hardware and software. You know, that's a very small percentage of what you have to do and have to get compliant. And I bump into those same MSPs that jump out there and say, hey, I got all this for sale. You know, I'm going to sell you, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, why? Nine times out of 10, you don't have to have all that stuff if you just configure things properly and you have the right things put in place.
Amen. I'm going to do a revival. Can I get an hallelujah?
I'm
just like, yeah.
I'll give you an amen. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, a question that has come to my mind as we're talking here. When you get to policies and procedures inside the compliance framework, what are you guys doing around that? Are you helping write those? Are you giving advice? To what depth are you getting involved with that? And John, we'll start with you. I saw you come off mute there.
We're actually getting deeply involved in that. We study that piece all the time. And, you know, we've spoken with a lot of the experts on that and worked with a lot of the type of controls. So the client's not going to be able to do it without a lot of guidance and a lot of assistance. If you let them go off on their own, it's going to take you forever to get them where they need to be. But as long as you guide them, they still have to provide full input because, you know, they have the business and they know their processes and what they've got or lack of. And most of the time it's a lack of. So, so you've got to be right there in the middle of it.
Yeah. Leah, go ahead.
So I love documentation and I love processes. I can remember very clearly, I think it was in 2008 when I wrote my first SOP and I was staring at a blank page and I didn't know what to write. And you know, now today where I absolutely love the documentation of processes to make sure that we do the same thing each time. Everything in our company, all of our operations are process driven. So I love this part about CMMC. So we recognized when we were doing this work that we could maybe get a client to the place where they could be compliant. At least, you know, maybe not the documentation stuff is okay, but then how are we going to keep them compliant over time? Because it's not like, compliance is not like a race where you hit the finish line. You're like, I'm compliant. And now you get to stop, right? I mean, it's like it's a continuous process. So we're like, well, how are we going to do this? And not only do this, but then document it. Because when it comes in, that's where the level 3 is a maturity level, right? So if they have to be able to prove that you have these mature enough processes, documentation, that you're doing all this stuff. And like, how are we going to do this? So we went about creating testing on our own clients, the best way to be able to do this. So we authored an IT security policies document, the IT plans that are required because you need to resource a plan for all 17 of the CMMC domains. Obviously, we don't have 17. We pulled some together so that we could be efficient. And then we have processes, written processes, as well as lists. And then we package that up. I use that as a unique selling proposition when I'm talking to clients, because we went through hundreds and hundreds of hours of IP in this. So I can say, I have this package. If you come and work with us, not only am I going to be able to get you compliant, keep you compliant, but I've got all the documentation that you need too. That really speaks to them, because if you just go online and you download one of those packages, many of them are beautifully written by technical writers, and you read it and you're like, oh, that sounds really great. But then you're like, well, how do I actually use this? And you can't, because it's not really functional. So we test all of that, because we're using it out every day. And I get very excited about being able to utilize that, not only to close more business, but then it actually works, which is the most exciting thing.
Yeah, I know it's always concerning when you ask somebody about their policies and procedures and they grab the stack off the shelf and it's still got the cellophane on it.
Right.
You don't feel great about that. I have a feeling we could have this conversation for another hour or so pretty easily, but kind of bringing things around to the end here. If you had to give some advice to somebody that was interested in MSP, that's interested in getting started in CMMC compliance and offering that as a service, what would you advise those first steps are? Where should they start, and how should they go forward with that? And John, I'll let you go first on that.
Well, you really got to be prepared to, for the long haul on it. Just like Leia said, you can't just, take it off the top and go. So you got to prepare. In fact, one thing that we did to get ready for digging into the business is we had a NIST 800-171 assessment done on our company through the, Center for Information Assurance out at the University of Texas, San Antonio, with their cyber guys. So that was how we kicked it off. But anybody that's going to jump into this has got to be ready to do the training and spend the time learning and talking and, just digging into it, because and you got a financial commitment too. It's not a just do it. You've got to jump in there and spend some money to really get going if you really want to be credible in the market. And just like, mine and Leia's companies both are registered practitioner organizations. In order to consult with these guys, you don't have to be that, but there's a whole spectrum that you miss out on and your client misses out on if you're not, because you don't understand what the CMMC expects. They've got a professional code of conduct. They've got ways that you're supposed to treat things. So dig in, be prepared to spend some money and spend a lot of time, to get ready to do it, and talk to people like Leia and myself.
So, John, if I heard you correctly, you mean you actually, in your MSP, have to do it as well. You invest it. And this is the thing that I would say it probably drives me nuts the most, is that I hear MSPs go out and they talk about CMMC, NIST, HIPAA, all those, and they don't do it on their own business. And I think it's a big miss. If you don't know what's going on in your own organization and you can't put those controls in, how can I trust you're going to do that for me as a business owner? And I think it's a question I'm hearing come up a ton. When I'm on proposal calls with MSPs, they're like, well, do you have this in practice? Can you show me your proof of compliance? Can you? And it's amazing how many MSPs don't have it, or they didn't do it, or they can't talk about that. And I think you hit on something that I feel is a big miss in the industry, is don't go sell something to your customer that you're not even implementing and doing in your own business. It's really important. If you're going to take compliance serious, do it to your practice, know what to expect, go through the process, and drive home and make sure that you're there first, because you shouldn't have your customers trust and be the guinea pig. You need to do it at home base.
Dan, it's a requirement if you do this work, and let me tell you why. Because it's very clear in the CMMC that anyone who has access to this information has to be at a certain level of compliance, even if you are a quote-unquote alternate work site. So I know that you and John and your techs, we're not going to go into these networks and look at these drawings that are going to be, the controlled information. We're not going to do that. It doesn't matter. We have access to it. And because of that, we are also bound to the same controls, because we have access to it, which means you have to, if you're going to do this work and have remote access or access at all into the network, then you have to bring your company up to that same level. Your RMM tool has to be up to that level. You have to, everything that you're doing internally has to be brought up to that same level of the clients that you are accessing, because when the assessors come, they know that MSPs are going to be supporting and helping these companies. You're going to be there with your client as they're going through this assessment, and they're going to be asking you the same questions, and they're going to need to see your tools and your configurations to have access.
And Leah brings up a really good point there too, because you've got the keys of the kingdom, and there's an issue too with most of the current RMMs out there as well, we've discovered, because the biggest part of them, unless you've got really special circumstances, aren't compliant to where you can actually use them on those clients. So that's something we're doing a lot of exploring right now, is to really see where we can fit, our current RMM in all that.
No, you guys, this has been great. I know we're kind of up on time, but this has been a really good conversation. I think this is something that, a lot of MSPs, they're dabbling. There's a big opportunity, and you guys are talking about that. I mean, you guys are winning deals, and you're getting opportunities for new clients, and it's out there. But don't just go take and say, I'm CMMC, and, think you can do it. It's proven. You guys have invested time. And that time is paying off. You're looked at as go-to resources. Your communities around the globe. I mean, around the United States, people are looking at you guys as resources. And I think it's really an awesome thing, which is why we had you guys on today. And appreciate you both coming on and talking about this topic. And I'd love to have you guys back in a few months as we continue to watch CMMC progress and see what's changed and like what's going on and what you guys are hearing and seeing. Because I know it's a all the news around CMMC is changing.
Seems like a daily basis.
That would be awesome.
So, yep.
Yeah, that would be super. And thanks for having me on. Pleasure sharing the stage with Leah. And, look forward to some future conversations.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. And thank you for your expertise as well.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. So that's it for today's episode. And we want to thank you all for listening. Stay tuned next week. It's going to be a great one, and look forward to seeing you there. Have a good one, everyone.
All right. See you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Powered Services Podcast with Dan Tomaszewski. We're dedicated to giving you practical information, tactics, and strategies that you can use to supercharge your MSP. If you liked today's episode, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcast. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next time, this is the Powered Services Podcast, signing off.